They all know how to play, and they're all real smart. Always very difficult.
For third, I put my Woodside Wildcats. Had to sneak them in somewhere. Their record is also 4-0, so.
In the preseason, Woodside, a win over Sequoia at Sequoia. Sequoia's an A-League team. That's a huge win right there. They also beat Fremont at Sunnyvale. That's an A-League team. So Woodside right now playing real good football under Justin Andrews.
Yeah, Woodside, of course, I would love to put them at first because, you know, that is my school. But their wins, they're not crazy wins. They're just getting away with some decent wins. But they do have some great players. Marcellus Chester Riley, not only is he fast, but he's able to duck real low. And players aren't expecting that. It's not easy for them to tackle.
He is elusive. That's my word for him, elusive.
They also have Sione Halapiapai, and he can just run through anybody.
Huge.
Nobody's stopping him.
He's huge. He's like 6'3", 280 or something. Mm-hmm. Just a big, huge, belongs as an offensive lineman, but they give him the ball.
Yeah, you know he's going to get the job done. And then Alex Roque is also our punter, and he does a great job. You always know that if we score a touchdown, we're going to get that extra point. And those points do matter in the end.
And the difference between winning and losing versus Sequoia was an extra point.
Exactly. For fourth place, I put Half Moon Bay.
1 second.
Okay.
Adam Swan, cross-country runner, first year playing football. He's their special teams kickoff man. And all of a sudden, he's found a position at Woodside that what a great benefit to have him. We saw him return a touchdown 90 yards versus Sequoia.
Oh, yeah. I was there. That was unbelievable. Was that the one that happened in the first, like, 15 seconds?
Right. That's how the game started.
That was crazy. That was really his first year?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay. For fourth, as I was saying, I put Half Moon Bay. Their record is the last record that is 4-0 for the Ocean Division. I'm pretty sure they're first in the actual standings right now. I'm not 100% positive, but the last time I checked, that's what I believe they were.
Yeah, Hillsdale, the one loss to Saratoga, and then three straight wins, Lincoln, Cappuccino, and then at Christopher. We heard Art talking about that Christopher win. Christopher's a pretty good team. 41-0 is a big win for Hillsdale.
Okay. Well, Hillsdale is what I have fifth. Their record is 3-1. They have 18 touchdowns in those last games, and their average is 51 tackles per game. So
they play a lot of defense for Coach Perotti. Brett Wetland and Cam Taylor were in studio a couple weeks ago, as well as Coach Perotti for Hillsdale. As we've worked our way through the Ocean Division, Menlo, the only school we have not had on Inside the PAL.
For sixth, I did put our friends South San Francisco. And, you know, that's not just because their record is 2-2. Like, their record is 2-2, but they weren't playing easy teams. They've been playing very hard teams. Their first loss was against Sarah. For my opinion and for what I know, a lot of guys go to Sarah for football. I know it's a football-heavy school, so, I mean, I don't even want to put anybody in last in the Ocean Division. They're all playing amazing, but
I know.
I have to put somebody.
Somebody's got to go in there.
Exactly.
Okay, so, Kateri, any other final thoughts? Is there anything else we should know about the Ocean Division?
Just, you're going to be on your toes. That's all I can say. You don't know.
Yeah, and I really think that week in and week out, it's going to be very difficult in the Ocean. And like we saw last year, South City loses to Woodside. If they win, and Woodside kept 2-3, ends up in fifth. South City beats them. They win the league. I mean, so many close games, and you just don't know what's going to happen. Good, Terry, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up from the Sequoia Cherokees, Nick DeMarco, the quarterback, as well as head coach Rob Polis, is going to be joining the program. Our picks of the week, and then we will sign off looking forward to Friday night's game versus Sequoia. It's going to be the Cherokees hosting Menlo Atherton. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff right here on the home of the big bands, 891 KCEA.
She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Are you a fan of KCEA Sports and you have a Facebook profile? Now you can become a fan of KCEA Sports on Facebook. We have just opened up our new Facebook page. Get all the up-to-date coverage as well as any information we need to bring you down the line. Just type in KCEA Sports in the search bar, open up our page, and click like to become a fan.
If you have a question, comment, or you'd just like to join the KCA crew, you can contact us at sports@kca.org. Once again, that is sports@kca.org.
Hi, this is Justin Hsu from Aragon High School. Are you ever interested in how we operate here at KCEA? Do you have a passion for sports and radio broadcasting yourself? You can join the team by emailing us at sports@kcea.org. Let us know a little about yourself, and we will consider having you on board along with us on the KCEA team. Once again, that's sports@kcea.org on the 89.1 KCEA Radio, the home of the big band.
Hi, this is Rich Januario from Carlmont High School. You're listening to Inside the PAL on the Bay Area's only big band station, 89.1 KCEA and KCEA.org.
Welcome back to Inside the PAL as we're working our way through a Wednesday night midseason here on the football slate. And we have been joined by first we're going to talk to the quarterback junior from Sequoia High School, Nick DeMarco. How you doing tonight, Nick?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing really well. We're breaking down the entire PAL tonight. Now it is time to talk about the Sequoia Cherokees. And for you, junior quarterback, coming into this season, what did you think your odds were as far as being the quarterback? The last couple of years, it's been Favai Brown, Aiden Pierce a little bit last year. But Favai Brown coming back, what did you think your part was going to be coming into this season?
I knew going in that Favai was a talented player, and they plugged him at quarterback. Their need at that point of time was him at quarterback. But he likes to play running back, and we had the ability to move into running back and get everybody in the right spot. And I knew I just have to work hard, beat out whoever was trying to quarterback, and do my part.
Yeah, Nick, what has been the biggest difference between the JV game and the varsity game?
The biggest difference is I have to think a lot more. I have to read defenses a lot more. There's more reads. It's not just you look at one person, if he's open, throw it. If he's not, try and run or check down. It's a lot more pre-snap based, post-snap based. It's a lot of thinking.
Now, you guys start off with Palo Alto. You worked your way through Woodside and Harbor, and you went up to Washington. Have you seen yourself, you can pat yourself in the back a little bit, but have you seen yourself grow over the last few weeks and slowly become comfortable in having to make those calls?
Yeah, it's getting easier and easier because everyone's learning as a team. We're all getting better, and we're all on the same page. That's the most important part, having everyone on the same page so we know what everyone's doing, and so we're all able to complete a play.
Now, Nick, you guys went up to Washington. It's become tradition. You've been to Idaho. You've been to Utah. Now you're up in Washington, up in Arlington to play Vancouver Collegiate from up in from the team from British Columbia. Can you give us just a little bit of what you guys were able to do during those days up in Washington?
During the game or outside of the game?
No, outside the game.
Oh, yeah. When we got there, we walked around. We saw UW Washington, and then we went to see D3 Division School play, which was really good. And we also went to see Puget Sound. So we walked around as a team.
So when you guys walked around the campuses, did you get a chance to go to the field? Did you get a chance to see coaches? Did you sit in a classroom? What was the experience like?
Actually, at Puget Sound, we got to see all the football activities. You got to see inside their locker room at the field. Washington, not so much, but it was great going into, Puget Sound, a football program, seeing what it was like there.
Now, we are speaking with Nick DeMarco, the quarterback for Sequoia. Now the real season starts. You guys got a chance to play a couple of different teams. You got a chance to go up north and have some camaraderie, which is fantastic. Now it counts. Now every game matters. You've got MA coming up, who is an arch rival. With MA coming up, is there any thought? I mean, the Woodside game, I would imagine, is a game that the Cherokees started a little slow, and then you came on like gangbusters. You just couldn't quite finish them off. Is there any thought of that game heading into MA? Like, We can't let that happen. We can't start slow against a team like MA, especially a rival team like MA.
There's definitely thought of we know we need to get better in the first quarter. We need to come out firing. But we moved on from Woodside. It was an awful loss, but we want to come out strong and beat MA.
You know, in order to come out of the gate focused and obviously you don't want to get too hyped because you can also make mistakes like that, but is there a key to coming out intensely focused for what's in front of you? And it seems it's very easy to take plays off. Is there a key to not doing that?
We know we're in the Bay. We are in the toughest division, so we know every single play is going to be hard. Every single game is going to be bad, but we know we can't take a play off. Otherwise, it's going to come back and bite.
Hey, Nick, there are a couple guys that never get mentioned. That's your offensive linemen, not just yours, but offensive linemen in general. But they are the guys that keep the defense off you, and then they open up holes for running backs. Could you give us some of the names of the guys that are keeping the defenses off you?
Oh, of course. We have Chris Cook, Alani Palaha, Andrew Palaha. We have Max Singatow, Matt Casey. We have T.T. Honga. Marcus Titelli, who's currently hurt, but he's in there. He's one of our big players.
Oh, yeah, Titelli, of course. He's like literally one of your big players.
Oh, yeah. He's an emotional leader, too.
And sometimes it's tough to lose guys like that when he is an emotional leader. Does he bring anything not playing? Does he help emotionally lead you guys now?
Oh, yeah, of course. He's always on the sideline. We always know we can count on him to lift us up when we're down, to get us pumped up. He's always on the sideline. He's always in the game. He's never just sitting there pouting.
Hey, Nick, how much time, now you got MA coming up this week. How much time will you spend looking at what MA does defensively on film?
Every free second I get. I have to do homework, obviously, but I already put in, I'd say 4 to 5 hours this week learning MA's defense, so that's, 80% of the game is learning what they're doing and knowing how to attack it.
Now, of that you notice, and obviously, so it sounds there's a lot of time that you're by yourself and you're watching it. Are there tendencies, are there things that that MA, in this particular case, MA is doing that you'll go, hey Coach Polis, I noticed this, that, or the other, and maybe we can do this or that? Do you guys have that kind of relationship where once you see something, you bring it to the coach or the offensive coordinator and try to get something in the playbook?
Oh, yeah, of course. We look at it together. We look at it when I'm separate. When I'm at my home blown, we always talk, we communicate. That's we have to be good communicators in order to successfully work together.
And one final question, Nick. Nick DeMarco, quarterback for Sequoia, joining us here on Inside the PAL. To walk off Terramere with the win over MA, what will the Cherokees have to have done well?
We just have to execute. We have to know what we're doing. We can't make mistakes. And that was one of our big things. We have to come out. We have to know what we're doing. We have to just do our job. If everyone just does their job correctly and knows what they have to do, we're going to do fine.
I think you are right. Nick, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it very much. And if you could hand off the phone to the coach, that would be fantastic.
Of course.
Thanks, buddy. That Nick DeMarco, quarterback for Sequoia Junior. So he's got a little bit of time in front of him and a little bit more traditional. He will take off and run, but he also sits back there and throws the ball. And we've done 3 Sequoia games so far. And the difference between the Palo Alto game and the game up in Arlington, even the Woodside game, he just looks more comfortable. He's sticking in there just a second longer to allow his receivers to open up. And it's kind of fun over the few weeks just to see athletes get better. And I think Nick's one of those gentlemen. Now joining us, head coach of the Sequoia Cherokees in his 7th year, one of the winningest coaches in the history of Sequoia. I can say that because it is actually factual. Rob Polis. Coach, thanks a lot for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much, and you can say that even if it's not factual. It's still better.
Hey, I tell you what, there's going to be a day. All you need to do is stick around for one more year, and you're going to be the winningest coach in history. It's about 48 or 49 wins. I got to look at it, but you're right now at 41. So at 41, 27-1. As I'm slightly glossing over that, but a great run so far at Sequoia, from the lake to the ocean to the Bay. Now you've been in the Bay for a couple years. You've established yourself in the Bay. How important is for you, and you think for your program, to remain in the Bay Division?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, I think, you want to strive to be with that top group. I think it's, there is a little bit of a culture shift with that. one of the things we pointed out with MA, because, you know, MA is 1-3 right now, just like we are. And if you look on the surface, wow, that doesn't sound like you're having a very good year, except it's 1-3 versus great competition. It's 1-3 on their way to the playoffs. I've seen them do this year in, year out. Because, you know, in the Bay, rarely does anybody roll the Bay. You know, last year, as an example, we had a three-way tie to decide who the fourth team going to the playoffs was.
Right.
You know, it's that competitive. It's that close every year. So getting the kids to understand their, you know, a good year may not be 8-2. You may be 6-4 because you've been playing playoff competition week in, week out. You know, I've pointed out before the season started to our team, if you look at the rest of the Bay, there are two CCS champions, two CCS semifinalists, and a CCS playoff team.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's extremely hard. The benefit for automatic bids out of the Bay, but you're right, week in and week out, and you look at Sacred Heart Prep, too, they're 2-2, but they've lost to Palma and Reardon. The losses in the Bay Division are always so are to the elite. No one's playing down and losing to teams. This year, more of a up in the air, I think, this year with the Bay Division, because there's some 4-0 teams that didn't play tough competitions, and the CCS champions are 2-2. So as far as your Cherokees coming in, you got to feel like if you can play four quarters, you can beat anybody in this league.
I think we can at least play with anybody in this league. You know, you've got to play four quarters. You got to get some breaks in this league. You know, or you got to make your own luck, and that's what we're trying to do. You know, we've discussed a couple of times. I feel like we're where we should be, and what I mean by that is we're a young team, and you're going to struggle early with a young team. But what you want to see is, are they competitive? And you know, the Woodside game is the perfect example. I've been coaching, I think, 20 years now. I've never come back from 26 points down.
Incredible.
You know, whether it was a title team or, you know, an up and coming, I've never been on a team that was 26 points down at half and came back and tied, you know. So watching them battle through that, watching the Vancouver game, watching them come back and jump into that game and go back and forth, you know, the same thing with Pally. I mean, that's why I love scheduling Pally. That's when the whole purpose when we took over was, can we get to a point where it makes sense to schedule games like that? And, you know, we're a step away, but that's all we are now, is we're a step away. So I'm looking to see these guys take that step together.
And, Coach, without giving away any secrets, you mentioned halftime at Woodside. Were you talking to the teams? Was there a couple athletes that stood up and said, hey, this isn't good enough? Because you came out in the second half and you were a different team. Was there anything that kind of springboarded that that bit of success?
Well, I mean, there was a couple of small adjustments, but a lot of it was just getting out of our own way. And my defensive coordinator, Tim Nassani, had a phenomenal halftime speech that had the kids just bouncing off the walls, desperate to get back on the field to play some more.
And play you did. For those who did not listen to the game, it was live. Sequoia scored 26 unanswered in the second half, and it went into overtime. They did end up losing by a point, but when you're able to come back like that, really something. And you mentioned the comeback. I had the opportunity to go up to Vancouver and see you guys, or rather, up to Arlington, Washington, to see you play Vancouver Collegiate. Great for the team. The Cherokees had been to San Marcos, Klamath Falls, Lewiston, Idaho, Cedar Rapids, Utah. Can you give us just a little bit of the trip and what you think this does for you? And obviously it's something you started doing and you've been doing it every year since.
Yeah, we've done it every year after my first year. From year two on, we've done it every year. And the idea is 99% of these kids are not going to go off and play college ball. So let's give them that experience. What do college football players deal with? They stay in a hotel, they travel outside their area. They have to manage those distractions and come together and have that bonding time. And really the other piece of it was, you know, I've coached five different schools, you know, up and down the state, and I've talked to coaches from other areas. Football is football. If you play football in California, Texas, New York, Washington, it doesn't matter. Your experience is pretty similar. So we've really tried to think about, well, what can we do to make their experience, you know, special here? And the travel game is one thing, and our man-up character development program is another. You know, a couple of things we hang our hats on to make this experience a little different for our kids than playing football anywhere else.
And one kind of cool thing that you mentioned to me, too, before the game, you got together with the other team. You went to the Olive Garden, and you had dinner, or an early dinner, with the other team. So it's not necessarily us versus them. There's two teams that are growing together and building, trying to get some family. I think that's a great experience to meet the other team ahead of time and break bread before you go out there.
We've required that. That's the one thing. We don't ask anything of the other team, really, you know, other than we want to sit down with you and have a meal and get to know you, because we're going to spend 2 hours across the field, and we're going to spend the rest of the year checking in to see how each other did. You know, so it's not about hating the other guy. It's about an experience and a chance to grow and see new things. So, you know, the Olive Garden thing, you know, we had every kid stand up, and then we intermixed all the tables. So coaches, players, it didn't matter. Whatever the table was, it was mixed between the two schools. And within 5 minutes, they're swapping stories and talking about their lives and everything. You know, last year's was probably the best one I've ever seen. We went down to Valley Center, and they brought us up to this huge barbecue on somebody's property where they have a lot of their team meals. And then the next day, our kids got to shadow them for a little bit of their school day. They had a homecoming rally that our players participated in, and it was a totally positive environment. They had our kids for lunch at the school. We played the game that night, and even though we beat them in overtime, they had a dance afterwards, and all of our kids were invited to the dance. And they made sure our kids had a great time and got to know everybody, and you know, definitely some friendships building out of that kind of thing. And kids were checking the rest of the year. Hey, how are they doing? Have you seen anything? You know, that's what we want.
I mean, what's amazing, too, is last year's team, as you mentioned, they tied for fourth. You did not qualify for CCS. However, in 20, 25 years, how many kids are going to be talking about the experience of going on the road and getting to do what they did? I mean, that's something that you get to take with you forever.
And that's our thought. Our thought is, you know, in 10 years, a lot of the stuff is going to muddy, and it's going to, like I said, everybody goes through double days or whatever the summer workout is. Everybody goes through the highs and lows of their season. How many teams get to experience traveling like this and having that experience? Do you remember when we went to Idaho? Do you remember when we played in the Kitty Dome? You know, do you remember when we traveled to Utah? Do you remember when the Canadian team traveled to meet us? You know,
I mean, there's not, when we started this show, Scotts Valley from over in the Santa Cruz Coast League played a team in Texas. And at that time, other than De La Salle, they were like the first team from the, take De La Salle out of it. They were the first team from the CCS to go out of the state in like 20 years. I mean, it's ridiculous. Nobody did it. And now it's become something you do every single year. I think it's great for the kids. You're right. 99% aren't going to be able to go on, but they are going to go on to school. They're going to go on to college. They're going to go to the Puget Sounds of the world as students. And what a great experience for them to be able to do it. I think it's tremendous that you line that up. And it's very easy to say, yeah, we went up to Arlington. We played a football game. But in order to put that all together, takes months and months and months of preparation and long hours and all sorts of red tape you got to go through, and you got to set it all up, and meals and schools and airfare and just, you know, getting all the money to do it. So I really tip my hat to you and to all the Sequoia boosters and everybody that was able to put it together. Great experience for the kids and for everybody. I went up there and I had a great time. But Coach,
well, you brought up a great point on that also. When we do this stuff and everything, it's about, you know, one of the things we've made sure of every single time is that we see at least one college, if not two or three. And I do everything I can to make sure that they see a Division I and a Division III school. Because, again, a lot of these kids could play a Division III. You know, if you've got the desire, you can find a place to keep playing. And a lot of kids don't realize that. All they see is Saturday college. It's all D1. And right. All kids, they can't really relate to that much, you know, these freaks of nature kind of, you know, massive athletes. And then they roll into one of these Division III schools, and suddenly they're seeing kids who look just like them, who are playing college ball and traveling and getting the experience, and it doesn't dominate their lives. It's just in the football season. And I want to make sure they see that every single time. So this this one worked out perfect because Puget Sound was great hosting us. Pacific Lutheran got us free entry to their game. Our whole team got to see that game. You know, we got a nice full tour of UW. And honestly, Division I is tricky because they have so many NCAA rules prohibiting contact that it becomes hard to get the kids to see a lot of that stuff.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Well, I think it's a great experience, and I tip my hat to you for organizing it and getting it done year after year, too. You didn't burn out after the first couple of years and figure that's too much. You keep getting it, and now it's become part of the Sequoia package, which is awesome. Coach, we really appreciate you joining us after practice and grabbing Nick to join us as well. We'll be live on Friday night, Sequoia MA. Last year, a crucial game, not only a rivalry game, but a crucial game in the Bay Division. We wish you luck this week, and obviously we wish you luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Don.
Thanks a lot, Coach. That is the head coach from Sequoia joining us here on Inside the PAL, Rob Polis. And as much as I would love to go through our picks of the week, we got to take them off air, guys. I'm sorry. We got to do the picks of the week off air because it's already 9:02. We are already running a little bit late, and I am very sorry for that. I will give you all your just due next week, I promise. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes it's tough when we get the kids right off the field. And I really wanted to talk to Nick, and I want to talk to Coach Polis about the trip to Arlington because that's just something that you don't get a chance to do. A lot of the teams don't get a chance to do that. And the fact that they do that and all the experiences that they get to enjoy, fantastic. We had a huge show tonight. Art Testoni broke down the entire South Bay. He gave us winners of all the divisions. In studio, we had John Reed from the Daily News. He helped me break down the Ocean, the Bay, and the Lake divisions. Evan and Justin broke down the rest of the Bay. We got their predictions. Kateri Kulo, we got her predictions from the Ocean division. And that's just half the show. In studio, Eric Kamelamela, running back from South City, along with Colson Pua, the quarterback from South City. They were in studio, as well as head coach Jay Oka. And they brought me a shirt, which will be up here in the KCEA studios. You just heard from Nick DeMarco and Rob Polis. Nick, of course, the quarterback. Rob is the coach of the Sequoia Cherokees. Coming up Friday night, Sequoia MA, 55th time those two teams have met. Sequoia leads 27-26-2, in case you were wondering. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock will be the kickoff right here on the home of the big bands. For everyone here on 89.1 KCEA, my name is John Mylod. We will see you at the game. Summer's day, bringing gifts from far away, but it made it clear they couldn't stay. No horror was his home.
Sequoia Sports Classics, because athletic excellence matters. KCEA Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District. KCEA Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of Redwood High School, online at kcea.org.